This is Power Athlete Radio. With your hosts, Denny Kaye, Professor Booty, and the Luke Summers. And now, toes forward, hips locked, shoulders set, and retract those scapulas. It's time for some knowledge bombs.
What's happening, Power Athletes? Welcome to episode 60 of Power Athlete Radio. As always, we got a good show for you. We're going to catch up with Playtech, fresh from the Vegas Combine for the National Pro Fitness League. We're going to talk some kyphosis, a little bit of sports performance, and just kind of catch up with what's happening from Power Athlete HQ. So today we have Luke, Tex, and Levi.
What's
and of course
up?
Professor Booty himself. What's happening, gentlemen?
Yo.
Hey.
You know, I always kind of prided myself on being the highest ranked D/C-list celebrity on this podcast when John's not around. But now that Booty's getting all the heat, I mean, he's like the Val Kilmer of Batman's, you know?
Val Kilmer of Batman.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, bro.
So does that make you the George Clooney, Luke?
I'll take that. Like that salt and pepper look, Clooney cut. Dude, I'll take it.
Clooney's Batman suit, I think I read somewhere, is the only suit that had nipples.
Oh, really? So we can milk it.
The right, only so Batman suit that had nipples was George Clooney's.
All right, so I'm already violating, like, my new rule for the show is let's get right into the good stuff so people can, like, cut out as soon as we start getting to the ridiculous stuff. So, Levi, write that down. We got to talk about nipples on the Batman suit.
You get to look up nipples on the internet this week like we did with the Nick Cage.
That's going to show up on the template next week.
Yeah, and then we got to compare all the Batmans because we had a pretty good fruitful conversation in England about that. So
cool. Well, let's start with Steve, man. Kicking ass at Vegas. What was that? What was that whole experience like?
It was pretty outstanding, actually. Tony Budding has put on a seriously professional show. It was at the Orleans Hotel, a little bit off the strip, a couple blocks off the strip here. And once you walked in, it was just basically NPFL everywhere. They literally spared no expense. I mean, even the doors to the dinner on Wednesday evening had NPFL stickers all over it. I'm surprised the plates didn't have NPFL on it. They really did a good job. The event was run probably better than any event in like the fitness community I've ever been to. Every single event was on time. Judging was so, I know it was
fucking crazy.
Like when they said show up 90 minutes ahead of your event, they were serious because it was like you were going. It was 3, 2, 1 and time. We're going. Super well run. Everybody was really friendly from the staff to the athletes. And it was the really cool part about it was you came out here and you got basically the night before each event. So like Sunday night. And then if you made it to Tuesday, Monday night and so forth, you were randomly assigned to a team with a coach you've never met and a bunch of athletes that you might know but probably haven't worked out with before. And what happened was in like a matter of 15 minutes, everybody just like, I'm good at this, you're good at that. Like, we just want to win. It didn't become a showcase for individual athletes. It really just became about the teams coming together and wanting to win. And it was pretty cool. It was a good time. I'm glad I did it. I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah, and that's so – I mean, that's just an interesting concept that there's
that's on time.
Well, no, obviously that's, we roll like that at the seminar, as you know, we're
Somewhere.
We usually give a standard deviation of 2 hours for any.
Exactly.
No, but just that were you expecting there to be kind of the individual approach? Like people are trying to showcase their own skill.
You know, I was kind of on the fence about it. I was thinking that you would either go out here and see a bunch of people who wanted to, showcase everything they could do well. And I did see some, not the races that I was involved in, but I watched some of the other teams go and you saw some of that where people were fatiguing And rather than tagging out, because the whole idea is it's supposed to be fast. I mean, this is designed for power athletes, hard, heavy, and fast. And the idea is that you have teammates. So if you're slowing down, those seconds mean that you're going to lose the match or lose that individual race of a match. So slow down, tag, get somebody in there who can put the pedal to the metal. And you saw some people who were visibly slowing down, coaches saying, tag, tag, tag. They kept going. But that was the minority. I didn't know if that was going to be the case. I thought there could be some athletes who are going to go out there. You know, you're trying to like, you know, you basically get a little salary for this if you get signed. And I don't, I can't speak to what the salaries are because it's all sort of under wraps. But I expected some guys to do that, but they really didn't. Everybody worked well together as a team. And I think there were more people who went out with the just adopted or assimilated the team mentality of we want to beat the other team. It was kind of cool because before the match, like in the warm-up area, everyone's like, hey, what's up? You know, like, what combine did you do to get to Vegas? Where do you train? You know, your coach, whatever. And then as soon as you stepped out on what they're calling like the field, they're calling it the grid. You stepped out, you were either on the red side or the blue side. It was like you were enemies, right? You were fighting. And then after the last race, everybody was like, that was so much fun. And like, you couldn't tell who was on what team because everybody was friendly again. Yeah. It was just super awesome.
Well, I mean, that's what that team competition and you just think back to playing sports. I mean, when the whistle blew and the clock was running, you were ready to literally kill someone. And that's, you know, that's what just John's story is about the NFL, where you could be arch nemesis on the field and then afterwards easily go out and share a beer, you know?
Yeah, and I think the NPFL is harnessing that ethos in this team spirit because, you know, the coaches, they want to win, but you can see after each match, you know, they're buddies, they're drinking buddies. And you know, half of us went out and ate, sat next to each other, and we're like, oh, good job, you did this, that, the other thing. So it's the same idea, and I think they're doing a really good job at it. I think, and I'll tell you what, I don't know who the big investors are, but there's a lot of money involved in this. So every bar was an Alico bar. Every plate was an Alico plate. Every single thing is branded MPFL. And then we found out on Sunday or Monday that the company that's been building the rig, True Strength, they're getting bumped out. And Alico is going to build a custom rig for the matches for each match at the location. And then on top of the rig is going to be a screen that's going to be like a Megatron, which is going to be showing scores and placement. And then they have a whole staff of software engineers or something. I'm not sure what's going on behind the scenes, but they have made it virtually impossible for anybody, whether you know what this is about or you're like a grandma who happened to like sit down and it was on the TV, it's virtually impossible for you not to know who is in the lead. They've got this really simple visual scoring system where basically if the red team is winning, there's a little bar that goes to the red side, it turns and it's red. Imagine that. And it shows the number of reps they're ahead. And then if the blue team starts sort of catching up, that bar gets shorter and it flips to the blue side. And what was really exciting is last night there was a final match and the winning team was guaranteed to sign a contract with the team. And it literally came down to the last event, which was the last race and the last actual exercise, which was 25 thrusters at 100 pounds. And then after you do the 25 thrusters, you have to sprint about 80 feet, touch, change direction, and then sprint to the finish line, which is 100 feet. And the bar was literally going like red, blue, rep for rep. And it was a dogfight. So it was cool. And everyone's on their feet and it makes it, you can see what's happening. And I think if these teams get community backing, like, you know, like where people are, you know, this is my team, I want them to win. It's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be pretty exciting. Cause I mean, this was a tryout and there was probably, you know, over 100 people in the stands, standing, cheering. It was pretty
that's
exciting.
Outside of the athletes, Steve?
What's that?
That's outside of athlete, the athletes and their family, or do you think it was mostly that?
No, I would say it was probably 60% athletes and then a bunch of people who were supporting the athletes. So like girlfriends, wives, families. And then there was maybe 10% of people who were just walking through the hotel. And I mean, every single day, at least one person was like, is there some kind of bodybuilding or a fitness competition here? Like, I guess they've never seen like so many fit people in one location at the
Olympics. Yeah, it's something else.
And so I think what they did was they originally had tickets for sale, but I think they just said like, if people from the hotel want to come in, give them a ticket. And there was a couple people who came in and, you know, they're like, is this a lot of people will say, is this a CrossFit thing? And you're like, yeah, it's kind of like that. You should come check it out. And they check it out and be like, well, that's pretty exciting. Those guys are moving some big weight and they're strong and doing some, you know, L rope climbs, back roll over to supports on the rings, you know? So like, in addition to just lifting heavy weights, you got to do all this like crazy Cirque du Soleil shit. So there were some people that weren't even involved with it, just checking it out. It was kind of cool. And like, remember, it was just a tryout.
Yeah. So do you know where you placed yet on the overall deal or?
There's no real placing. So, you know, it was a cut process. Some people after day one, talked to some people and I guess signed like some letters of intent. So they didn't move on. I made it to the third day. I didn't make it to the final match, but I made it to the final day. So I competed all 3 days. Everybody who came out to Vegas is eligible. But there's no real ranking per se. I mean, no team came up to me and said like, we've got to have you on our team. So that might mean that, you know, nothing's going to happen with me. But you know, I had fun. And so, July 10th, in Miami, I guess the teams get together and they're going to do a draft. So select athletes. And I guess somewhere around 80 to 90 people need to be selected. I think it was like 106, but a lot of people from Vegas already like hooked up with teams or whatever. So I think it dropped to about 80 or 90 people. But then, you know, I'm in the masters category. So they don't have like 10 masters athletes. So I don't really know where I stand.
So like it would be, you'd be contacted by a team that's looking for a masters athlete.
That's my understanding. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And every team has to carry an over 40, has to actually like every match they have to play an over 40 male and female. And then they can have a number of reserve athletes, but whether they're going to keep 40 plus athletes in reserve, I mean, like, part of my brain says like it'd probably be a good idea to keep a 40 plus athlete in reserve because they're probably the most likely to get injured, but then you might not want to waste those reserve athletes on old guys. So it's right. I think each of the teams are doing it differently. I talked to Steve Bowser. He's the coach for Miami Surge. Last night at like the dinner, they had like a nice little dinner with drinks and stuff last night, and he kind of indicated he was looking for like a master's generalist kind of guy. But then you could also, some teams could be looking for specialists and that sort of thing. It's hard to tell because the coaches don't put it out there like what they're looking for, you know?
Right. Keep it close to the chest, or maybe they just don't even know.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be like they're keeping it close, or if something pops up that catches their attention, that might be, you know, because it's so new, I don't think they even know, to be honest.
Yeah. So did you feel that you went in prepared based off the training that you were following?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would doing the field strong and has been perfect, and doing the power athlete stuff for as long as I've been doing it has been just absolutely perfect. I mean, the workouts are short. I think the longest workout time is a 7-minute time cap, and that's for the ladder. And you have to run every athlete through the ladder. So you figure each athlete gets, you know, 45 seconds or so to work through a ladder. And, you know, the time limit for some, I don't think the first race of every day, I don't think anybody finished it because they just miscalculated the reps. It's super fast, 4 minute, 5 minute, 6 minute, 7 minute time caps. They're heavy. Each day got progressively heavier and fast. So I think Field Strong is, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, I'm sure people are doing some other things. I think Field Strong is all around, especially with like the new Olympic lifting cycle and the way it cycles through different facets of training. In the end of the day, I think it's going to be the most comprehensive for this type of athlete.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, me and Tex, we were 8 hours apart trying to keep up with it. And, on our own, doing our own little mission out in the UK, working with, paving the road for the future of Power Athlete HQ, which is going to be some exciting stuff. But no, man, we're proud of you. And I got a couple texts when I landed and some emails late about you looking for movement prep, movement prep for this specific combine. Were we able to get back to you, any of us, or no?
No, I don't think so. But what I did is I went back and looked at my training journal and looked at the events I was going to be doing. And so, obviously I'm out here to deadlift, so looked at the days that we deadlifted on Field Strong and tried to use some of that stuff. Tried to set up my trunk with some dead bugs and, what are they called? Inchworms and that sort of thing. It's kind of funny, 'cause as I was doing these things, some of the young kids, the coach would be like, all right, let's get together. This is what, you're going to do this. So-and-so is going to do that. Okay, take 30 minutes, go get warmed up, and then come back and we'll reconvene and see how we're feeling. Some of the kids, and I say sat on the rower, I mean literally sat on the rower and did not row. And we're like, yeah, no, once the, there is no whistle, but essentially once the whistle blows, I'm just going to pick shit up and go. And I was like, fuck that, I'll kill myself. So I ended up walking out. I'm sweaty and warm. And I felt really, those dynamic movement preps and those warm-ups, they really helped me a ton. So
I mean, Tex, talk about lactic acid response and movement preparation, dynamic movement prep, and priming your system for specific time domains and energy systems. There's such a market, Tex, for teaching people how to fucking prepare physically for the demands of this type of competition. 'Cause it's the same thing even at throwdowns. People are over there doing neck roll, arm circles, I'm gonna fucking crush it. And the reality is you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you would just prime your energy systems, and that it's frustrating. And I was gonna ask you, what were the other people doing? I mean, were there other people doing a little more sophisticated type warm-up, Steve? Or
there were a couple people I noticed, and I don't remember their names. I ran through three different teams with, nine other athletes and a ton of people. So it's hard to remember what everyone's doing in the warm up, but I saw a couple of young ladies doing some what looked like band pull aparts on their back, legs up. So they were doing like basically a band pull apart dead bug. I saw lots of people were doing Spider-Man lunges. Somebody saw me doing the, what's it called? Knee hug, drunk, twist, lunge, that thing. And then I did a couple of those with some Spider-Mans and some cocky walks and some dead bugs. And then I saw somebody else doing those lunges. So they kind of I think people were kind of watching what other people were doing. Uh-huh. I just went off in a corner by myself. I did some I really like ninja roll-ups. So I did some ninja roll-ups to pistols. Flopped over, did some plank press ups, just really tried to get everything, all of the pumps primed, being older and kind of beaten up, I need a long time to warm up. I mean, I was in the hotel room and a half hour before I went down to the warm up area, just, with the voodoo band and trying to just break some stuff up, make sure I'm loose and warm and covering myself in tiger balm. And but so lots of people, their warm up was essentially just hitting the lifts. So if the movement was a hang snatch, they would, hit the bar, it was in pounds. So whatever, it was 135 pounds and then 200 pounds. And then all right, yeah, I'm good. And okay, I guess you're good. It seemed weird to me, but some of the kids are so strong and I guess limber and young that, maybe they feel like they don't need the warm up. What I kept thinking from my coaching perspective afterwards is seeing some of these absolutely just super talented young athletes, if they primed their body in a way that we do at Power Athlete, the level of performance and the level of athleticism, I feel like could go through the roof. So the one thing I did notice is that when they had the two teams of signed athletes, so they had an exhibition match between like East Coast athletes and West Coast athletes. And then on Wednesday, they actually had, I think it was like the Philly team versus the Los Angeles team go. Watching those guys warm up was almost the same. And I didn't expect that. I expected, since they were kind of, they were high level CrossFit athletes, they were signed, I would have seen more of the power athlete or more of the dynamic movement prep stuff. And I would say the percentage of athletes doing that kind of stuff was the same as the general population of athletes invited to compete, which is kind of disappointing to me because I expected those high level athletes to be doing a little bit more. But it also gave me the idea, you know, made me think if they did that stuff, the level of performance could probably go through the roof, like seeing things that we haven't seen yet in sort of this human performance stuff.
Yeah, we definitely feel that. I mean, we think differently with our understanding. It's all about making the connection between not only learning a movement pattern, but then priming and prepping that movement pattern for intensity or resistance or anything. So I remember reading in SIF, it's you don't need to warm up for GPP work like CrossFit because, you know, your central nervous system isn't going to have to fire all the time. So this is what they're used to. You know, they're going to warm up into minute three of Metcon. Well, I feel this style and this approach to competition, heavy, hard, fast, and sprints, that, I mean, our system, Field Strong-esque kind of warm up and approach is going to carry over extremely well.
Yeah.
So Luke mentioned the lactic acid. So you need to literally prime that pump. I know Luke and I actually competed. Luke and I competed with the Open. And so that was right in my kind of lactic acid wormhole phase. And so I think I beat him 3 out of 5 just by taking a lactic acid system approach. I was not in shape for CrossFit, but one workout and taking a quality movement prep and lactic acid priming the pump approach, I was able to beat him on, I guess, 3 out of 5. And Luke was actually on doing some training for it.
Yeah, and then coincidentally, yeah, those were the days that I, you know, I didn't have a suitable warm-up or, like, I'm not making excuses, but it was, like, I wasn't prepared. And, you know, if I had a little more time to jump in, prepare, rather than just doing, like, all right, I'm going to just let the whistle take me type deal, I think that I would have performed better. But yeah, it was funny when every time Tex would text his time on our group message, I'm like, show me the video. This is fucking bullshit. And I hit up Paula. I'm like, Paula, I don't care if you're vouching for him. I need video to tell me the truth. And then sure enough, Tex records a video, but couldn't figure out the new iPad, so he couldn't show me when I'm down in Tampa. So I'm going to let this be still just kind of an asterisk in the record book. But
well, I mean, either way, right? Like, I'm sure that Tex isn't fudging the truth here. But one of the things that, like, psychologically I realized was that going into this event and even training now, I couldn't imagine training without prepping the systems. Like, I feel what you were saying, Tex, is that, you know, 3 minutes into a Metcon you're warm, but why not be warm and prepped for the first minute, you know, for the first second? You guys have shown me the light for sure. And my thinking about training now and the importance of movement prep and warm up, almost, you know, it's funny, I think of training now, and maybe one of you guys said this to me, is like, that's the most important part. Yeah, like, squatting big or deadlifting big is great and all, but it's going to be bigger if you do these things first.
Yeah. And I've been obsessed with warm up ever since I was a player and a coach, because you had to be ready at the first whistle. My freshman year, I broke my leg. I was on the sidelines, and 3 minutes into the game, we're down 4-0. There's little I could do to get these guys going, but just thinking, like, all right, just take mental notes and preparation. And then I was able to have it, like, a successful next few years plan, because I was doing suicides while guys were just joking around, throwing around. Yeah. So, and then I just applied, you know, what I was feeling as an athlete, and actually did some research in guys that actually knew what they were talking about, and just kind of made some connections. So, I mean, literally, I'm going to do a warm-up reflection every single year and just add everything I'm learning. I think
I'm going to take some mental notes over this year and then really write an in-depth piece on mentally getting yourself right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to read that piece. You know, it's interesting. You talked about breaking your leg. The only two injuries I saw, and I didn't watch every single match, but the only two injuries I saw were the East versus West, like the already pro signed athletes. On the West Coast team, a young lady, I don't know who these people were, cause they don't have jerseys on or anything. And I guess crush on CrossFit athletes maybe. But a young lady ruptured her Achilles. And another Alessandro Pacelli, I don't know. I think that's who it is. I think she tore her pec on chest to bar pull-ups. And I didn't watch them warm up, but in hindsight, I wish I kind of did, because those are the only two injuries that I can recall. Like, you know, major injuries. I think one guy hit a box and had to get stitches. You know, I fell off a box and took a chunk out of my shin. But like real injuries, like debilitating injuries.
Yeah. How was the Achilles ruptured? What was the event?
Box jump overs. She went over once, came back, and then basically just fell to her knees and had this look like, I am not standing up, like something is not right here. So they dragged her off.
Were they able to replace her and finish the workout?
Yeah. So then
that's kind of cool, but shitty, but you know.
So both injuries actually, it's run like a professional thing. So like it's live time. There's no whistle to stop play. So it was okay. You're hurt. Tag, see the medic, and then the other people keep working to finish the event because mm-hmm. they wanted to win. So yeah, like, from a spectator perspective, it was okay. The person's injured. Like the event is still going. Let's check up on them afterwards. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of cool. I mean, not for those athletes, obviously.
Yeah. My take on that, that's different. I like how they just kept the thing going, feel bad for her. But in terms of our warm up and what we're trying to do. So when you see, and Steve saw those guys, I know everyone knows what he's talking about, is if the movement's hang cleans, guys were doing hang cleans to prepare. So I get it, but we're trying to fully get everything going. So not just the movement pattern, but the quads. When those quads are going to fail, what is the next muscle group or next energy system that's going to step in and help you compete? So I know it's called the dominance phenomenon. So if, say, your bicep's going to fail, like what's the next muscle up to take over to keep you going? And if you see someone suffer an Achilles injury or something to a tendon, then a muscle didn't do its job. So when you strain your calf, when you tear essentially a hamstring, that is the muscle doing whatever it can to stop that force and protect the tendon. So that's the dominance phenomenon. It's not only what muscle is going to step up next, it's going to be what muscles are protecting and taking all the force away from the tendon, the Achilles, the ACL, and things like that. So our warm-up is all-encompassing, and definitely this conversation, I hope, can shed some light on how we differ, and definitely Field Strong, you can see it in action.
Yeah. And even, you know, we're thing we were talking about over...
God, text you.
Over the pond is just how can we get more sophisticated with some of that movement demo to make it more accessible, because, you know, we pride ourselves on people helping people, and like that we can save some lives. We can save some Achilles. We can save some knee injuries for field sport athletes coming up, you know, as long as they know how to prepare. And perhaps, you know, Tex was talking at the seminar this weekend, like he was giving the traditional pregame warm-up, which is okay, take a run 400 meters, about maybe 200 meters, touch a post, come on back, get your lines 10 across, 5 deep, team captains right over left, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, clap clap clap, left over right, and you're just doing this stupid fucking warm-up routine that is man, like if as a player you knew that and you break out from that warm-up, or when you're in drills, you step aside and you start doing some of the more valuable components to a movement prep or competition prep, it paid huge dividends. So like, you're ready on that first play.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny too, because it's that first play that might be where the injury, you know, both of the injuries that I saw this weekend happened within first 5 to 10 reps of them being on the grid, you know? And so that's where like you might, all right, there's 3 minutes to get into the Metcon, but in this particular sport, there is no 3 minutes. You're on there for like 30 seconds to a minute at most. And then
that is a failure to warm up right there. That is a guaranteed failure to warm up.
Yeah.
And these people are professional athletes who neglected to approach their competition by failing to warm up, and they're probably out for the season. You know?
Yeah, and both of them are games athletes, so that's going to affect that too.
Yeah, no shit, man.
So would you guys say that it's a lack of education or just kind of a cockiness of, hey, I move really well, I don't have a lot of obstruction in my movement, so I don't need to warm up that much?
I'm going to go with our three limiting factors for coach. Knowledge, they don't know. They don't have experience because every other competition has been longer. It's something like this, 30 seconds in and you're done. And then ego. Maybe they're those young guys, those young guns that are sitting on the rowers. They don't have to warm up now. But I don't think their professional fitness league career is going to last very long if they take that approach every single event. Every single day. I guarantee how they warm up for the event is how they warm up every single day to train.
Right. Well, you see a lot of other programs out there that you could follow online that don't have a specific warm-up, like, you know, Field Strong, that prepares you for the day, and it just says get the heart rate up for 10 minutes, and then, you know, let's get into it or whatever.
Get your chili hot.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I think it's probably lack of knowledge on the athlete and the coach. And, you know, one of the things I can reflect on from just personal experiences, you know, I used to be the person who'd go in my garage, and it could be middle of fucking winter, and I would just start. I tore my bicep tendon. And when I found you guys and sort of got hooked up with y'all, convincing the athlete to try it. Like, I've had to convince some athletes in my gym, listen, I know this warm up takes a long time and you might actually have to skip some of our extra credit or something, but just try it. And yeah, but the warm ups are so hard. And yeah, that's right. They're supposed to be hard because they're identifying limiting factors in your capacity to perform. They're going to make you better. Like, by trying to convince them, I'm like convinced myself. Well, I think when you demonstrate to the athletes the benefit of these warmups, then they can't, the ignorance, you can't go with that anymore. Right. So it's a matter of convincing coaches. And I know Tex, this is like maybe your mission in life. Right. But, also just getting the athletes, cause I know when I was doing the ninja roll-ups and, some of the dead bugs and, the drunk twist lunge knee thing, I'm sure people were looking at me like, what the hell is this old feller doing? But, you know, I went out there and I was warm. I felt ready. Anything that the coach said to do, like there was definitely some movements I was not, like, I wasn't psychologically prepared to do because I wasn't, but somebody had to tag out and I had to jump in and I felt good. I felt good doing it because I felt ready.
Yeah. So I'm even writing a piece on the World Cup and soccer right now. And so Luke and I watched some games and we saw one of the USA players. He tore his hamstring. So you trained 4 years for this one event and then 5 minutes in, you're done. So I can't tell you anything about the warm up. I don't know. But that's what I'm just going to write about is training. Is this guy going like in a fatigue state as fast as he can go through that full range of motion of a sprint? So sprinting is stretching. Is he going through that full range of motion with his hamstring, or is his conditioning kind of going through the motions? So he might have torn his hamstring just to protect his knee, or he might have torn his hamstring because you know, he was fatigued, and then his hamstring wasn't used to going there under such force and stress.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's something that needs to be addressed in the athletic community.
Oh yeah. All levels, even at the top tier world.
Well, dude, that's good. I mean, I know we're just to give you public props. We've been texting you and emailing you, but congratulations on the experience. I'm sure it's something that you don't regret doing.
No, it was super fun. So at this point, it's just a waiting game. We'll see what happens. If somebody wants me, they do. I hope so. And, you know, if not, I feel privileged just to be a part of it because it was super fun. And like I said, super professional. So I'm excited. I think it's exciting. I think people are going to pick this up.
Well, that's good, man. Yeah. Well, I know Denny put out some other points, and I think the kyphosis, he wanted to talk about kyphosis, but I think it was for a specific athlete of his, wasn't it?
I think a few of his athletes, he did send us one picture of a man getting set up in a deadlift. Uh-huh. And I mean, we had the chance to talk a little bit about this pre-show, and he didn't know just whether it's some guys got big muscular backs, some guys are stuck at a desk job all day, but he had a problem putting some of these older athletes into a dead bug home position, like pressing their neck against the ground. People physically could not perform it because their kyphosis was so bad. Mm-hmm. So I was just wanted to talk about some rehab, prehab, and using some of our drills to carry over these athletes.
All right. Well, should we knock it out? Or because Denny actually popped off, he had to go coach a class, or should we wait for him next week?
I think that might be something we wait for John to get in on too.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
And actually, guys, I got a jet. I gotta get some food and maybe actually see Vegas while I'm out here.
What? It's not. There's nothing to do there except get drunk, go to strip clubs.
Exactly.
Check out the pool at the Encore.
No, check out the pool at where the fuck do we go? No, here's what you need to do: go check out the Mexican restaurant. I forget where we were, but find the mariachi band and have them follow you around all through Vegas. You'll be the most popular man.
you have some kind of assumption that I'm not already the most popular man.
That well, if you were the most popular and wanted man, they would have signed you as an NPF.
Oh, athlete. Fuck you. Touche. But I'm gonna jet out of here so I can get some food and you know, get ready to pack up and get out of this joint.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you this week.
All right, see you later. Tex, it's just you and me again.
Batman forever.
Listen, all right, so let's do this. Let's do a little England recap about the seminar, and then push a couple of the other seminars that are coming up, and then we'll get into Batman. So right now, we're done with the MPFL for our 10 listeners out there. Tex and I were in England, which was pretty interesting in the sense that whenever you go to one of these foreign countries where American football isn't a big deal, you have to really change the focus and angle which you deliver this stuff, especially during World Cup season. But I guess some memorable moments of the seminar were just, you know, certain athletes. Well, we break down the seminar. There's a workout, and people who come into this CrossFit seminars, they confuse the workout as a test for the athletes. But really, what we do is we take a step back and we look at your ability to coach. And we got like 5 minutes into the workout, and there was no coaching going on. And we had to actually break these guys down, break it off, and be like, listen, you got to change your perspective. You're at a coach's seminar, not an athlete's clinic. So that would, I mean, that's always an exciting component to this. And just like, you know, people get lost in the excitement of the workout.
Yeah. It was hard on Luke and I, because we had to stand there and just be disappointed in these guys. Cause we spend, 5 to 8 hours before lunch talking about just posture, position, all these good stuff. And as soon as we said 3, 2, 1, go, and then didn't start a clock, everything just went out the window and coaches lost control.
Yeah. And really it comes down to one of our favorite taglines throughout the whole seminar is you never rise to the occasion. I mean, here's an opportunity to do something different. We've completely laid out over like a 5 to 8 hour period, exactly what our expectations are. And everyone just falls to the level of their training, which is more that traditional fitness training, where if you want to get in really good shape, guess what you have to do? You have to increase your work capacity across broad times, multiple domains, right? It works. But people are in the best shape of their lives. But when we're talking about improving movement and executing perfection of movement while maintaining a specific posture found in sport, people can't do it. Can't do it. Energy levels get too high. We didn't even have music blasting or a clock running. We didn't need one. All you needed is 3, 2, 1, go, and people lose themselves.
Yeah, even after we break group one down, we still saw some carryover after explaining exactly what we're looking for into 2 and 3. So it's a hard switch to turn off. You've created that default by the standard of chin over bar. So you're doing less pull-ups, more chin reach, and then it's just bouncing deadlifts to get them up, no matter how rounded your back or terrible posture you have.
So I guess there's a challenge for anyone who hasn't ever trained without a clock. Like, go hard, go to that limit of intensity, but try to get 100% perfection this next week in training. Shit, today's training. If you're listening to this today and you still have to go train, do whatever workout you were going to do, even if you go to a box and the clock is running, take the clock out of it and try to make perfect movement through your training, and just see what the stimulus is. And you know what, if you don't get that torch and we're not sizzling you off the ground, then get on the Airdyne or get on the rower or get a prowler out, and then feel free to take yourself to that place where, you know, you can get kicked in the nuts and not even know it. Do it after that.
We're not saying go slow. We're saying move as perfect as possible, as hard and fast as you can, but it better look good.
Yeah. And I think that could be the hard thing too, Tex, is if you have, I know a lot of the people that follow us, like Levi, I mean, these guys and Steve, when he was just, they're following in their garage and they don't have a coach, you know, and it's a hard pill to swallow to pay that much to go to a gym. But on our forums, we have a find a training partner deal. So if you can get a training partner, you guys can build your coach's eye, and you're training in your garage, find someone to train with. Maybe not every day, but hook up on the weekends and get coaching points and get coaching. So when you're executing these lifts throughout the week, like, your bad habits aren't going to just be random. You've built those habits out of consistency of poor movement. So that's something you focus on and focus on and focus on. And then you always get that coaching, so you don't overcook anything. You know, a perfect example is what we see with the knees out. And I know we've talked about this, and we've had a cueing article and an overcook article, but like the knees out type deal. Every seminar we go to, athletes rely on that tension when they begin to start, so they don't get the valgus knees. And then they maintain relying on that tension. But as they increase range of motion, all of a sudden their knees are so far out over their base of support that they're not getting optimal force production. And they have, you know, that wide knee base for what we're looking for in training field sports. So,
and they're not loading their hamstring. It's completely turned off.
It's a crazy thing when we end up pushing, you know, loading their hamstring. And that's one thing we do with our setup for squat and their setup for deadlift, is really expose that posterior. And it may not be allow you to squat the most, but what we're doing is exposing the musculature that we utilize for speed, and we're training that so you can get faster on field. So it's, you know, I forget how do we even wander down this rabbit hole here, Tex?
I often wonder that every time we meet,
Luke. Are you talking about what you guys had experienced in the UK?
Oh, okay.
Clock, no clock, kind of a deal.
Gotcha. So, I'm not saying that the guys over in Europe are bad. I mean, it's something we see commonly wherever we travel, States, South America, UK, Australia, wherever. But no, it was a good seminar. And I guess what's next? We're going to be in where, Tex?
Boston.
Oh, yeah, we're going to Boston. So get signed up, Boston, in 2 weeks. And then I'm going to be in the Midwest with Carl Case, the Man Hulk, down in South Bend, Indiana. So if you're out in the Midwest and you haven't been to our seminar, what is your problem? What is your problem? People, do it. I understand why other people don't do it, because everyone outside of the Midwest are crazy people. But us Midwesterners, and I'll give you, and the people in Texas, I guess, just because that's where Texas is from, they know what's up.
So we do know what's up. We've been close to selling out both the Katy and Austin certs this year. Just saying.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, it doesn't hurt that you're the biggest state in the connected 48 states.
You mean the best country in the U.S.? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, shut your face. So also one thing you guys might not know about me and Tex is we just spent 8 days together. Like, basically like Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon in that movie. Stuck on you? No?
No.
You've never seen that movie, Tex?
I've seen it. I was waiting for an audience member to jump in. I got it immediately.
But all right, let's get on to the Batman debate.
Okay. What initiated the Batman debate? Do you remember this?
Yeah, it's Ben Affleck.
Okay. So we both wondered, why was Ben Affleck cast in this role? And then we went back. What's up?
Tex, I was going to say, Tex has a theory. He's basically Matt McConaughey in True Detective. He's like, he's over there, and we're in Europe with our buddy Harry. He's like, listen, time is a round circle. I'm like, what are you talking about? So this is what he gets into. I'll let you do it, Tex.
Okay. So he's got too big a chin, first off, for a Batman suit. Second off, he's hot in Hollywood right now. He won Argo Best Picture in something. So we went back to Batman Forever. Why was Val Kilmer cast as Batman? So then the question was, what other movies did he do in 1995? So then we got Heat. So it was basically, all right, he's got long flow and Heat. That was a connection. Ben Affleck, big smash in Argo. That was the connection. So they're just hiring, you know, freaking hot actors for bad scripts. So we're worried about this new one. And Luke also said,
well, no, Tex.
Superman movie.
No, Tex, listen. There's more to it. It's well thought out argument, and you did convert me, because think of the original Batman series. Who did you have? Michael Keaton, Tim Burton. So they sign off and they say, hey, we're out. So the Batman, I guess, writer
said, I'm out because Tim Burton's out. Just like Christopher Nolan said, I'm out. So Christian Bale said, I'm out because.
So this is a classic. History may repeat itself, and Tex would be smarter than Hollywood, which maybe isn't that big of a deal. Because they put out movies like Geely, also starring Ben Affleck.
And Luke actually thinks it's pretty good.
Did I tell you that in confidence, or was this on the air? But I did watch Geely, and I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, it was a little bit better than Con Air.
Oh, wow.
Well, I thought it was really good, so maybe I should check this movie out.
And then what were you talking shit on Superman?
You were talking shit on Superman.
Yeah, about me. Yeah, I haven't seen a good one. I mean, listen, they're better than other movies, but related to Batman, every Batman movie is better than every Superman movie.
That's true. I can't argue that. I can't.
Because, listen, I know these are fantasy movies and they're not meant to draw me in and convince me of the reality in these movies. But really, what did Superman, the newest one, Man of Steel, because they didn't even call Superman, Man of Steel, what did that turn into? It was just human wrecking balls destroying the city. And if Superman's doing good, I mean, shouldn't he take the financial consideration of rebuilding a fucking city? Okay, so you have this alien bad guy. Which, spoiler alert, listen, if you haven't seen the movie, tune out now, because I'm going to give away the ending on how he kills the guy. Doesn't he just pause? I'll let you tune out. All right, they should be gone by now. Doesn't he just strangle him?
I don't remember. I fell asleep on a plane.
So I'm pretty sure he just strangles the guy. Levi, do you know?
I think it was something like that. It's just tough when
he breaks his neck. He breaks his neck. Okay. And something he had an opportunity to do for this at the very beginning out of this 45 minute fight scene where they legitimately just body slam each other maybe 2.5 miles through a series of skyscrapers and cause these buildings to fall down. And literally it is like a bomb went off and he fucking kills a guy by breaking his neck. Come on. At least in Batman, Bane's legit and that whole thing is legit. And the Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, right? Where with the Joker, like how epic was that? Dude, beat it. And now Superman's coming in to pollute one of my favorite all-time series, Batman. I mean, you might as well bring in Tobey Maguire.
Spider-Man. I'll tell you what I've also always wondered about these comic books, science fiction, action slash space movies, Luke, is the body count. If you watch Transformers and I guess the newest Superman with these downtown fights, how many innocent civilians are being killed? What's the body count on Transformers 1 through 3?
Well, maybe we shouldn't do that analysis. If anyone wants to go back and watch those movies and provide us a estimate with sound reasoning, we will highlight it on the website and on the podcast. But Tex, I'm with you. I mean, there have been some tragedies and terrorist attacks where like thousands of lives lost, right? And that, like, those events are so small when compared to some of these fight scenes. It's out of control.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new Godzilla either. I mean, that's when like a bad guy you know is going to destroy a city. We're talking like when the good guy, the hero, saves the day, and then thousands of people are dead because, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a small number of the people that would be dead if the Decepticons won. Maybe we can listen to that argument.
Yeah. All right. I'll buy into that. I mean, if Optimus Prime sat me down and gave me that little spiel, I'd have to agree. Because they're also going to enslave the whole human race as well. So, well, yeah. Now, see, people have an idea of what we talk about for 4 hours at a time after these seminars, just to kind of cool our jets a little bit. what else? I don't have. What's up?
Said 100% productive. I think we had especially a lot of fans in Germany for that trip.
Yeah. For sure, dude. But all right, man, let's bust off. It's been about 45 minutes, I think, maybe 50. And then we got some guests coming up. Let me look at Danny's spreadsheet and start plugging guests. Oh, here's what I want to tell people. Listen, are you listening, people? Listen to me, okay? Well Food Co. has a promo right now for their MREs. It is 30% off. Okay, so I'm going to pull this up. I'm going to read the description of this MRE, and then I'm going to give you the real deal. All right, so hang on. It's basically a 1,000-calorie pack of coconut, nut, and jerky. All right, so what you're looking for or what you're looking at is basically 1,156 calories, 60 grams of protein, 100 grams of carbs, and 100 grams of fat. Okay, protein comes from the grass-fed beef and the jerky. Your fat is coconut chips. Your carbs are pineapple chips. There's no soy, no gluten, no grain. And I know this is like a blatant plug for Well Food Co., who we're big friends of. But what you're ultimately talking about here is like $10 for 1,000 calories of super clean food. That's it. It's for to get a box of six, you're paying $100 minus your 30%, which is like $70. Okay. Listen to me, people. $70. So you're paying 13 or like $11.50 for 1,000 calories. I know that you want to cook your own food and be a true caveman and hunt your own bison and beef, but like, seriously, you got to go crush these. I got 1 6-pack for this next week. And I'm going to go back on. I don't know. I didn't know how much inventory they had, cause I didn't want to buy them all. So get your MREs now, 30% off. Coupon code is TRAVEL, capital TRAVEL, 0614. TRAVEL, for those of you who can't spell, 0614. We're going to have a link in the show notes, or just go to wellfoodco.com and go to their snacks and treats section and get the paleo MRE. All right? It's crazy. But there's my rant of the day, I guess. Tex, have you had that thing?
Yeah, dude. How do you think I survived the trip?
Yeah, MREs. Yeah, I had a bunch of carne bars. So I'd chow down those carne bars.
I just wish this deal was 2 weeks ago, but either way, good product.
For sure. All right, man. Good stuff. Anything else that I'm missing that we got to close on?
Wade's Army. Keep it going. I know Harry and I are working on the new t-shirt design. So people look out.
Yeah. And then what, do we have any key dates on that?
I mean, goals, the games, we'll see what we can work out.
Okay. Sounds good. I know we have Rob Wolf coming up. Let me see what the final date is. The 10th of July. So we got Rob Wolf on the 10th of July coming up. We're going to talk with him about nerdy paleo stuff. Probably be really boring. And then me and Tex will just bring the energy.
We also had a good contact. I got his name's Mark Watts. He runs the Elite FTS podcast. So just another strength and conditioning coach at the college level who's been through the grinder much like myself and now has found some good company. So we're going to get him on and kind of wrap with him a bit.
Do we close the time, the guests on that or the date?
Still is July 20th.
All right, July 20th. And then, Mark Watts, there he is. And then we also have China and Freddie. We got to get them on in light of China's games appearance coming up. And then Freddie, we want to talk with him just a little bit more about SWAT and stuff like that because we have some questions in the hopper for that. And then we're hoping to get Scott Wilson on. So Scott Wilson's a guy from Down Under who was with Playtech at the Combine. And we're just going to get a feel for what they're doing down in Australia and get his take on the Combine. So it was good stuff, guys. So thanks, Tex.
Yeah, we'll talk. Good job. All right. See you, Levi.
See you home, my friend.
See you, Tex.